Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse number 1 in this worship experience. We read from the New Living Translation. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. And as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with his colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs them. And he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt and sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. Others cut branches from the trees, spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession. Somebody ought to hear that. And the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Thus far, the words of God. You may go to your seats around the building, even in the presence of our Lord. I want to come back in this worship experience to that fifth verse, which it rings out on this Palm Sunday weekend. Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. Right. The king is coming. Yes, sir. That's our reality. This week that we call holy, we march closer to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Other faiths can talk about, in a clear way about their belief in God. But Christianity is the only faith in which we talk about resurrection. That's clear. That's a distinctive. We talk about the resurrection. That which we know was dead becomes alive. Jesus says, no one takes my life. I have to lay my life down. And so when we can get up with the strength of God, the glory of God. And even today we celebrate his glory. The color purple is a color, of course, when I say that, you think about the movie. But when we think about the color purple, you think about royalty. I know our Omega brothers are happy today that we're all in purple. And even the people from Camden, I know that's your color too, purple. But the king is coming. There's an excitement in the air. That's what Palm Sunday is, an exciting moment. And it was exciting in Jerusalem when Jesus was entering the city. The question could be asked, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, here we are, Brother Ellis. We realize that straight from Nazareth, straight from the hood, straight from those places in which we are discounted, we have a God who is coming. The King is coming. I'm excited, Scoop, when we think about the King is coming. There are three things we're going to look at in the course of time this morning. Number one, Jesus exceeds all expectations. As a matter of fact, not only does he meet the expectation of Old Testament prophecy, but now Jesus is able to exceed. It's one thing to meet the minimum requirements. And some persons, they would ask, and so we have educators in the room, and you would ask your student, how are you doing? And some students would say, I passed. In other words, they were only looking for a minimum. But we serve a God who's not just looking for the minimum, but we serve a God who is reaching higher. And so he exceeds all expectation. Every believer in this room, when you gave your life to Christ, you had no idea what the Lord was going to do in your life. And thank God, and I want to tell you, no matter what he's already done, you can already celebrate for what he's doing right now. Help me, somebody. But then that second point we're going to make in this service, even when you don't understand, continue trusting him. I don't understand what you're doing, God, but I'm going to trust you every step of the way. Somebody knows that you can trust him. Even when the doctor gives you a prognosis, trust God. Even when a counselor tells you that you have limitations, I'm going to trust God. Even if I'm dealing with my record and my record is not clean, but I'm putting my trust in God. And so I'm going to trust God even when I don't understand. Whole lot I don't understand. How are you going to understand walking through the Red Sea and on dry ground? How are you going to understand walking on water? How are you going to understand that I was once blind, but now I'm starting to see? I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust him. Just like those young men did, they said, we're going to lower our friend. And we couldn't get in the front door, couldn't get in the side door, couldn't get in the window. But we went to the roof. Oh, somebody can hear that right now. And they said, we're going to let him down. But somebody said, how are we going to pull him back up? One of the young men said, you don't have to worry about pulling him back up, because we're putting him at the feet of Jesus. Oh, yeah, so I'm going to trust him even when I don't understand. Number three, Jesus has the ability to stir up your life for the better. There was in the city a great uproar. Some folk didn't even know what was going on. How's this man coming into the city riding on a donkey, not on a camel, not on a horse? He is on the lowest of animals. In other words, he is coming in with a hoopty. Wish I had a witness in here. Matter of fact, we don't know when it's going to break down, but thanks be to God, we can take it from one place to another. I remember I had an old Volkswagen, and that Volkswagen, we drove it, we passed it around the family. My father brought it new, and everyone in the family had a turn calling it theirs, and I was the last one with it, and yes, because it was good on gas, and by the time I got in it, it was rusted out in the bottom. I had a big picnic basket behind the driver's seat to make sure that the seat would sit upright. I had heat that worked in the summer and did not work in the winter. And my God, when I would ride on a rainy day like yesterday, I would have to get in my car and I would dress with boots boots on because the water would be splashing on the inside. And when I got to the end of that, I took it and the man said, what you bringing in this in for? The only thing I'm going to give you money for are the tires because there's no value anywhere else. But what I've come to tell somebody that God can take that has absolutely no value and can turn it all the way around. If somebody wanted a sermon, a little short sermon, you just got it. But let me unpack this thing. Because I go back to the reality that Jesus exceeds all expectation. Thank you, Jesus, for exceeding. The Bible says in Matthew 21:5, tell the people of Jerusalem, your king is coming to you. How are you going to call him the king? I thought we had a king. No, he's coming. And look at the king. He's humble, riding on a donkey's colt. He is humble, doesn't have to prove who he is. Because when you know who you are, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. Yes, the Lord woke you up this morning. The Lord started you on your way. The Lord has keeping power. He can answer your prayers and make a way out of no way. I wish I had a witness in here who could celebrate that we celebrate a great God who's greatly to be praised. I'm praising God because the Bible says we're going from one degree of grace to another. I'm praising God because he has already made a way in my life. I'm praising God because I have already seen him do miracles in my life. That matter of fact, all you got to do is look in the mirror, and you're looking in the mirror at a miracle. Oh, I'm thanking God. You are a miracle. Don't you know that? You are a miracle. You were bought with a price, and Jesus has indeed paid it all. And I'm thanking God the King is coming. He's coming on this Sunday, on this Palm Sunday, and he's coming humble and riding on a donkey's colt, a donkey, a mule. Oh, my God, even Jesus can get a mule to line up. And if Jesus could get a mule to ride up, you heard what it said. No one had ever, they didn't break him in. They just turned him over to Jesus. And my God, God is not calling you to clean the fish. He's just asking you to catch the fish. And if you catch the fish, then I'll take it from there. Do I have a witness here? Because a whole lot of us came in here filthy. I heard the other day that a man, he had sued the airline. He had sued the airline because they had lost his luggage. And he sued the airline because in his luggage, he was transporting some fish. He had some fish that he was transporting in his luggage. So when they lost his luggage, oh, my God, the fish, he was thinking, when I get to my destination, I'll be able to unpack my luggage and put the fish in a refrigerated place. But they lost his luggage. And, my God, those dogs were sniffing out there. And, my God, they smell something that day because when fish is not refrigerated after a period of time, it will stop the, it still will have a funny smell to it. Somebody knows what I'm talking about in here. And my God, and so the man sued the airline. He said, y'all ruined my luggage because I'm never going to be able to get that fish smell out of this luggage. When I'm going to tell somebody that if you don't get yourself cleaned up, oh, I wish y'all hear me. You'll be having a smell. What's that in the air? You'll have a smell. You talk about the aroma, about the blessings of God and the oil of God. But there's also a stench that you can have when you are not lined up with the word. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. And don't look around. You're trying to start sniffing on your row. But I'm going to tell you that the King is coming. And matter of fact, no matter how stinky you have gotten, the Lord can clean you up. Can I get a witness in here?
He can clean you up, my God. There was once a time we couldn't get up early on a Sunday morning and go to church like we are today, but we're here by the grace of God. We're here today because the Lord is able to look past our faults, but not only is he able to look past our faults, but he's also able, Dr. Feltons, to touch it and to transform us and to turn our lives all the way around. I wish I had a witness here, because we can celebrate a great God who keeps on doing great things for me. Look, your king is coming. The other thing about that fifth verse, because you have to make Jesus personal in your life. It's one thing for mama to have faith and this one to have faith, but you got to have faith for yourself. You got to be the one that's able to give your life to the Lord. My God, you will see, we'll baptize then next Sunday morning, early in the morning. We'll go into the pool, Reverend Williams, and we'll take candidates down into the water, and of course it's going to symbolize the death to an old life. I had a reporter that called me this week. He said, I need some quotes from you. We're getting ready for Holy Week, and what does baptism symbolize to you? Well, I said, it symbolizes death to something and a new life. And I'm thanking God that when I look at the Word of God, I'm looking at new life. I'm thanking God that I can come up in the newness of life. I'm thanking God that he can make a way out of no way. I'm thanking God that he can open up blind and eyes. And if you need to know, we're living in a dark world. We got all kind of things going on, from crime in our community to all of the political upheaval, my God. And you got all the things in Ukraine and the Gaza Strip and on the immigration, all the things that are going on, all the things in the news, but I'm putting my trust in God. He's humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. It's a bad thing to be arrogant. Oh, yeah, that's why I said last night that I'm enjoying that fella who's trying to get his money together so his property won't get seized tomorrow, but I'm also enjoying that a sister is calling the shots. Do I have a witness here? He tried to deal with one sister down in Atlanta, and I need to salute that sister, because she still said, I'm not the one that's on trial. You the one that's on trial. They're talking about Women's History Month, and then he dealt with one sister in Atlanta. Then he's got another sister he's got to deal with in New York who has no fear at all. I love that a sister could have no fear at all. She said, take all his stuff. I know they're trying to get their money together now. They're trying to pull it all together now. But I'm thanking God that Jesus comes humble, riding on a donkey. My God, he wasn't trying to impress anybody, but he's trying to live in the will of God. I got to thank God that I'm going to be in God's will. I'm going to be anchored in his will, following his word. And I'm thanking God for his word, because his word will not let me down. Do I have a witness here? I'm thanking God that his word is the GPS in my life. I'm thanking God that he can show me the way. And that's why I can praise God. And they were waving those palm branches, laying the coats down in the street. Jesus, we don't care what you do. We just want to worship you. Well, that's the first thing that I need to tell us in this house, that I have a word. Jesus is going to exceed. Who would have known what the week was going to hold? That he was going to go to a fig tree, that he was going to be able to turn over the tables that week, that y'all got your minds in the wrong place. And then he's going to go from judgment hall to judgment hall. He's going to have to deal with Judas on a Thursday night, and I'm thanking God that he's going to hang there on Friday from 12. 12, the 3 o'clock, my God. But here it is, that second point is, even when you don't understand, continue trusting God. I'm going to trust you, God, every step of the way. I'm going to trust you, God, even when I don't understand. Look at what it said. Jesus says in verse number 2, he said, go into the village over there, and as soon as you enter it, you're going to see a donkey tied there, and it's with its coat beside it, untie both of them, bring them to me. And if anyone asks what you're doing, just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. Matter of fact, that's what God can do in your life. He can soften the hearts of people who don't want to give you an opportunity. That's what's happened to our ancestors we were the last hired and the first fired. We were talking about separate but equal, and then we had this numbskull running for president, who was once a governor down in South Carolina, who said, I've never seen racism. My God, you must have been asleep all your life, that you don't know anything about all the lynchings that would have taken place in America. You don't know about all the things that have been done to our ancestors, enslaved Africans who came over here against their will, couldn't worship when they wanted to worship, and even when they wanted to come to church and kneel at an altar in Philadelphia, and they said, no, y'all are kneeling at the wrong time. I'm thanking God, but here this numbskull is, and she said, America has never been racist. Oh, yes, it has, but I'm thanking God that we can come to the house of God. I'm going to still trust him. I'm going to still give God the praise. I'm not going to be bitter, but I'm going to be better because I'm anchored in the word. Do I have a witness in here? I will bless the Lord. The Lord has need of them. Bring them both to me. Now Jesus can only ride on one, but I need you to bring both of them to me. Sometime God is going to bring, he wants you to bring it all. Don't bring half your devotion. I'm bringing all my devotion. He don't want you to come and only worship God at 7:30 in the morning, but he wants you to worship him 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Whether I got my dress up clothes, and next week I'm not going to be dressed up like this, but I'm still going to be dressed up on the inside, because when the Lord dresses you up, it has nothing to do with the suit I have on, but what it has to do with what's in your heart. Do I have a witness here? And somebody loves the Lord. I thank God that he heard our cry, pitied our every groan, fighting your battles, picking you up and turning you around. Bring it all to me. That's what you just tell them. Tell them the Lord has need of them. And when you read the other versions of this, somebody tried to stop them, and they said the Lord has need of them. And when God speaks, you got to listen to God. When God speaks into your life, only answer you need to have is yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Wherever you want to send me, however you want to use me, yes, Lord. Don't talk about what you can't do. Look at what you can do. In the power of God, Moses had a speaking problem, but God said, I can still use you. Noah had a drinking problem. God said, I can still use you. David had a women problem, but God said, I can still use you. Do I have a witness here? Peter had an anger problem, but God said, I can still use you. I don't know what your problem is, but I take it to the Lord. I lay it on the Lord. Thomas had a doubting problem, but the Lord still used him. Do I have a witness out there? I've come to bless the name of the Lord. I've come to lift up my hand. I'm going to wave my palm branches, and I'm going to give God the glory. Is there anybody here on a Sunday morning that we call Palm Sunday, and I got praise? I got praise. The Lord has need. He needs them. But not only do I look at the fact that I might not understand, but I'm going to trust him. But the third point I'm making today, that Jesus has the ability to stir up your life for the better. The Bible says that there was an uproar. My God, that's because he was stirring up the atmosphere. Thank God, you need to stir some things up. I bought some fresh orange juice the other day, and the one thing, when you're buying fresh orange juice, before you drink it, when you have it in the bottle, you got to shake it up. And once you start shaking up the bottle, then you're going to get the best out of the bottle. I wish I had a witness there, and that's some, what you got to go through in this life. Sometimes I go through a little shaking, but God, I might have gone through some shaking in my marriage, shaking in my home, shaking in my finances. I've gone through a little shaking, but I'm thanking God that when he shakes things up, he can bring the best out of you. My God, I almost feel like running around the room right now, because he can shake some things up and he can turn your life around. I can lift up my hands and I can give God the praise. That's why the Bible tells me in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 21, he is laying it out for me that I had that there had to be some shaking up. Jesus, my God, it says, was in the center of the procession, and Jesus needs to be in the center of your life. There's a whole lot going on, but Jesus is at the center. Do I have a witness out there? Put him at the center. I don't want him on the sideline. My God, I want him at the center. I like the way you put it the other morning, Reverend Artis, because Satan wants to ride. And if you let Satan ride, he wants to drive your vehicle. But I'm thanking God that I'm not going to give my wheel over to Satan. I want to give my wheel over to the Lord. Is there anybody here? I tried to do it my way, but I'm thanking God that I'm turning it over to you. I'm putting it in your hands, that your hands are great hands. Your hands are healing hands. Your hands can make a way. And they were shouting, thank you, God. They weren't just nodding. They were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven. Hosanna. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Do you love him today? The King is coming. I said the King is coming. It's a great week. It's Holy Week. The King is coming. I will give God the praise. I will give God the glory. I will. You can just say whatever you want about me. I don't need a rock crying out for me. I'm going to cry out for myself, because can't nobody do me like the Lord. I love him. I love him. Yes, I do. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? He's all right in the morning. He's all right in the noontime. He's all right in your driest place. He will show up, show out, make a way out of no way. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park. I want to be gone.